It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 135 of the WNO podcast, covering everything from the world of Who's Number One. We got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Obviously last week we did a little deep dive on Craig versus Ronaldo. The rest of the main card has been announced. It's pretty exciting stuff, huh, Reed?
Absolutely, man. This has been an exciting week. We got a bunch of stuff coming up here this weekend as well. Who's Number One, man? Things are in full swing. Exciting times here at Full of Grappling, for sure.
And then joining us, as always, back there at the other table, Corey Stockton. How you doing today, Corey?
Man, so many awesome matches to talk about this weekend. I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, so before we dive into the matches that were announced, I want to mention that we're going to be doing something a little bit different at this event. We're going to have two free prelim matches on the event. Those have not been announced yet. They'll be coming later this week. So we're going to have two matches, which are going to be on Facebook. The same way you can watch this, Facebook, YouTube, all that, the app.
Don't have to subscribe. Yeah.
If you're watching right now, we got Connor from our marketing department. We'll be interacting with people inside of the chats on YouTube and Facebook. And if you want to jump on the app, we're going to be doing polls, that type of thing. So, we'll probably answer some questions from fans at the end. But something that's really exciting, one of my favorite matches that we've ever had on Who's Number One, is the co-main event that was announced last week, Nicky versus Roberto.
Man, this one is huge. Obviously, we've been following these two guys. You know, they're young guys. We've been following them since they were blue belts, since they were green belts, you know. So to see their trajectories, you know, they both had such different trajectories as well. Roberto, you know, won the purple belt Gi Worlds. You know, he did so many of those things. And Nicky went the ADCC route. Of course, he's under the Danaher Death Squad and the things that he's done over there. These guys have never faced off. They're in a bit of a crossroads in their careers, you know, and this is the perfect time for these two dudes to meet. Most exciting grapplers out there, in my opinion. Nicky Ryan, Roberto Jimenez. This one's going to be so sick. What do you think about this one, Corey?
Man, it's really a tale of, like you said, two different storylines, right? We've seen Nicky and Roberto both come up through the ranks. They've done it a little bit differently. I mean, we'll get into this a little bit later, but Roberto, we've seen nothing but Roberto in, you know, all of 2020 and even before that, all of 2019. Nicky competes a little bit more sporadically, but when he does it, he takes on the biggest guys, and I don't know what to expect from this match. I think it's going to be great.
It's crazy to think how young these guys still are, because we've been watching them for a while. I mean, Nicky's 19, Roberto is 20. If you think about it in comparison to other sports, like, say, wrestling, which me and Reed are fans of wrestling, Nicky's 19, he's the age of a freshman in college, which a lot of times would be redshirted and wouldn't even be starting yet. And Nicky already has so much top-level experience. And I don't think it's unfair to say with these guys or when Nicky met Ty Ruotolo that they're all so young that they can meet each other in 2 or 3 years and have it be a completely different story. Their game's got to still be evolving, just if you look at it compared to any other sport where people are at 18, 19, 20.
Absolutely. Usually that's the age that these guys are you know, fine-tuning their skills, right? They're figuring this stuff out. But these guys are so experienced, you know, especially like Corey said, Roberto. Man, that guy, you could put any name down on a piece of paper, and Roberto's going to throw down with him. Like, literally does not matter. Last year he fought Cyborg. You know, he fought the Rotolos, he fought Dante. Like, you know, Roberto is so active, so experienced with gi, with no gi, you know. So to think that this guy is still only 20 years old and we've, you know, haven't even started to sniff at the peak of Roberto Jimenez or Nicky Ryan is just insane.
Yeah, it's only starting. I mean, these guys have both been on the event multiple times too. Nicky has gone 1-1 so far. He lost the decision to tie, and then he tapped Tony Ramos at the one in October. Roberto did the gi one. He won his black belt debut against Keenan. And then who else? He lost to Craig Jones, to Nicky's teammate, by heel hook. And then he beat Dante in his last one. Dante's a very big win. I think stylistically it's an interesting one because it's like we know the story with Roberto. Roberto likes he likes scrambles. He likes things to stay sort of wide open. And if he can make that happen like he did against Dante, Dante likes that too. He engaged him in that. It it worked out in Roberto's favor. But if you look at the what happened when Nicky's teammate Craig Jones fought Roberto, the DDS, they're so tactical, they're so precise, right? They're so strategic. And Roberto sort of leaves himself open for leg lock attacks. He almost got a heel hooked against Dante in the very next match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to be really careful going against Nicky Ryan because if Nicky Ryan gets in on that leg, like we always say, like we said last week about Craig and Ronaldo, if the DDS gets there, they're going to break your leg. They're not playing around.
Nobody's more efficient at those breaking mechanics, at finishing the heel hooks and stuff like that than guys like Craig, Nicky, Gordon, obviously the Danaher Death Squad. They've perfected that. You know, it's not just a heel hook with those guys. You know, it's a heel hook with real opportunity for some terrible damage. So, yeah, you can't play around in those positions. You know, you might be able to get away with some stuff with guys who aren't as seasoned leg lockers, but with these guys, you have to 100% be, you know, mind your P's and Q's. You cannot let yourself get into a bad position because these guys will finish you just like that.
Look at Nicky and Craig's matches at the Who's Number One in October.
Exactly.
Both of them
were,
I think, under 2 minutes, maybe under a minute in the Nicky-Tony. I think the Nicky-Tony
Nicky-Tony was like 25 seconds,
yeah,
right?
And
like
then,
that was a, yeah.
Craig and Roberto was pretty quick, too. Yeah, they get right to the point. They see that opening and yeah, they're not going to play around. They're going to break your leg.
Exactly, exactly. And I think the Tony Ramos match is an interesting one to talk about, too, just because, you know, I think going into that one, I was so excited to see the style versus style. We talked about, you know, wrestling. We're big fans of wrestling over here, too, as well. And to see, you know, I think going into that match, man, to see the seriousness and look that Tony had on his face, you never would have expected that it was going to go 30 seconds. You know, Tony came to fight. He came to throw down with this young gun. And, you know, in the moment, I was like, oh, man, I wish that they kind of showed us a little bit more. But thinking back on it now, I'm so glad, I'm so happy, actually, that Nicky went out there and showed him what's up with jiu-jitsu. Like, that's what he was there to do. Hey, if this is a wrestling versus grappling match, grappling wins, and in 30 seconds they win, you know? So, you know, looking back on that, you know, that's a great match, great win for against just a great competitor like Tony Ramos. So, yeah, big match there. Obviously, much different stylistically now. You talked about Roberto being the king of the scrambles. You know, he's going to find your back. He's gonna make, you know, the chaos, and that's where he thrives, you know? So two polar opposites coming at it here. You know, that's what makes the match so exciting. You know, you don't know exactly how it's going to go down, right, Corey?
Exactly. You know, one of the things I dug back through through Nicky Ryan's stats as best I could, right? He had some super fights when he was 14, 15 years old that I'm sure we'll never unearth. But the one thing I found is, I discussed this with Michael briefly. Reed, do you know the last time Nicky Ryan was submitted?
The last time Nicky got submitted? Man, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I don't know.
ADCC 2016 in the semifinal. So he was 15
trials.
Years old last. Sorry, trials 2016.
Oh yes, against Josh Hayden there.
So he was 15 years old.
That's right. 15.
How far in was he in the trials that time?
It was a semifinal.
So as a 15-year-old, he made it to the semis of ADCC trials.
Exactly.
That's pretty damn crazy.
And in 2017 as well, he made it to the semis.
Yeah, 2017. That was the real. This is from 2018 trials, and I think this is when you know, Nicky really poured it on, and he came out. I think he had 5 matches.
That's Richard Alacone. He's on the
back. Yeah, Alacone. Right, we saw in the very beginning there. You saw him fighting Ty Rotolo.
You know, and something
Kate,
he really showed
Kate,
us in the,
Rotolo, sorry.
In the trials here was, I mean, I think everybody expected him to come out and play guard and play leg locks, right? He chased everybody's back in 6 matches and 6 submissions in the trials.
Yeah, that's something we were talking about, how everybody from the DDS in October leg locked everybody, but definitely by far, I mean, they get more back finishes, I would think. I know Gordon does, but is that typical throughout the team, Corey?
It's tough to say with Craig, but I'd say with Nicky, I mean, if we break down his finishes, again, going back to 2016, it's as far back as I could go. He's got 20 submissions in 24 matches.
How many triangles has he got? I feel like he's got a good triangle, too.
I know he has at least that one from the 2017 trials, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, man, this was this dude was on fire this tournament. You know, sometimes you go in and you see guys who are just head and shoulders kind of above the rest of the competition, and that was 100% the case here with Nicky. He kind of dominated everybody, even in that match with Keith Krikorian, who's a fantastic grappler as well, and was at ADCC 2019. You know, he took his back there as well. So, yeah, this dude was out here taking everybody's back. He's such a still young, you know, super fights are different than a tournament, right? Tournaments are such a long slog. They can be very tough. And Nicky made it look so, so easy that day. He was on fire.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have a whole bunch more to get to because we have the rest of the main card announcements have already been made. But I think we should go ahead and make our picks on this one. I mean, it's hard to make a prediction with Roberto because Roberto has proven time and time again he can go out and beat anybody anytime.
Absolutely.
If he gets going... if he gets rolling, he can get on the back and beat anybody. He's got a good close guard too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think we're gonna see Nicky be really conservative. I mean, when I say conservative, I don't mean like he's gonna stall. I mean like he's gonna pick his shots. He's gonna look for Roberto to open up. He's gonna get on the legs. I'm gonna say he's gonna do what Craig did against Roberto. I think Nicky wins by a heel hook here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mentioned them being kind of at these crossroads in their careers. This is from the same tournament, 2018. This one's from 2017, the trials previous, the East Coast trials. But yeah, they're both at a little bit of different crossroads in their careers. You know, Nicky, he fought that tournament at 66 kilograms. In this tournament, Roberto fought 88 kilograms. Now they're both kind of like meeting in the middle almost. Roberto coming down, Nicky getting a little bigger. Of course, he's getting a little older. So they're kind of meeting in the middle here. I believe the weight class is like 175 or something like that. So this is really Nicky's first test in the you know, those guys who are a little bit bigger than him, maybe. And this is a big test, of course, because we know how much trouble that Roberto's had with the leg locks in the past as well. It's hard for me to pick against Roberto. He's so exciting and things like that. But I'm going to go with Nicky Ryan by submission here. I just think that his finishing skills are just too tight. What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, it's tough to say with this one, right? Exactly for the reasons that we discussed. Roberto does have kind of a leg lock weakness. It's, you know, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
Nicky's one of the best leg lockers, I think, especially in that weight class. That being said, the one weakness I think Nicky Ryan may have, maybe it's not so much of a weakness in Nicky's case, but a benefit for Roberto. Roberto had 40 matches last year.
Mm.
The year before that, he at least had 30.
Mm.
We don't always get to see as much from Nicky. Now, he's in one of the most competitive rooms of the country, right? Or one of the most competitive rooms in the world.
Definitely.
But Roberto has the 15-minute sub-only experience. And I think that when it comes down to this match, he may be able to outpace Nicky, kind of draw him into the water. Now it's a coin flip, right? Because Nicky could just as easily get another 30-second submission, but I'm leaning on Roberto here.
All right, just like last week, 2-1 for the DDS here. Let us know in the comments everywhere, guys, who you think is going to win this. But we have a few other exciting matches announced. The main card, the five main matches that are announced. The other one, I mean, you got Gabby Garcia coming back again.
Wow, love it.
Gabby Garcia versus Nachiele De Jesus. These two have actually fought two times in the Gi, and they're 1-1 against each other. So Nachiele is one of the few women out there who's beat Gabby. Now it's going to be no-Gi, which that's a tall task to beat Gabby Garcia either way, but especially no-Gi.
Absolutely. You can definitely count on one hand probably the amount of girls who have taken it to Gabby. And it's not too many girls, for sure. And Nachiele, one thing I love about Nachiele is that she is she always goes after the challenge. I remember when she fought Gabby at PANS, and she lost that first match, you know. And I talked to her afterwards, and she said, I got it now. I can beat Gabby now. I fought her once. I get it. I get what's going on here. I get her game. I get what she's trying to do now. And I know I can beat her. And she was saying, I want that match immediately. I want the match immediately. They ended up doing it shortly after on Fight to Win. And she did. She did exactly
what she said. That was in Austin as well.
In Austin. Yeah, in Austin. And she did exactly what she said she was going to do. She said she figured it out. You know, she couldn't get the win the first time. But the second time around on the Fight to Win stage, she went out there and beat Gabby. And hey, let's be honest. There are not too many people, other than Liz Clay, who are trying to get this match with Gabby and trying to beat, you know, she's a four-time ADCC champion. This is a huge, huge win for any female any female grappler, of course, you know. So I love that Nachielli wants these challenges. I love that Nachielli is going after the GOAT. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to find out who's number one, and both these girls are at the top of their game for sure.
Yeah, it's something pretty interesting here is Nachielli could become the first girl to first woman to defeat Gabby in both gi and no gi.
Wow.
A few girls have, I mean, Gabby's like 70-5 or something ridiculous in her career, really dominant. Yeah. But out of those girls who have got the other four girls who have beat her, it's always been just in one style. If Nachielli wins this one, she would be the first one to beat her in both gi and no gi. That's obviously easier said than done.
Yeah.
And I think Gabby's going to be coming in really motivated. She's got a lot of pride. I mean, she's got to be considered the greatest woman of all time now, especially after winning ADCC a fourth time.
I think so.
And she's not going to want to lose this rubber match to go down 2 out of 3 against Nachielli. I think Gabby's going to be coming really focused.
She knows it's an important one. Gabby's a gamer. That's also something I really like about Gabby that maybe people don't know as much about her, is that she's a winner. You know, she wants to go out there and submit people. She wants to go out there and be impressive, you know. So I think it's a perfect matchup for these two.
Corey, what are you thinking about this one?
You know, the one thing that I'm kind of leaning on here is I want to see what Nachielli's game plan is against Gabby this time, right? She has one of the best spider and lasso guard games in the world, and that's part of the reason that she beat Gabby at Fight to Win. Obviously, way harder, almost impossible to play any kind of spider or lasso or upper body control game in a no-gi setting. So I want to see how her game plan shifts in no-gi.
Do you think, you know, obviously she had a match last time with Liz Clay. It was a pretty close match. You know, I think a lot of people even may have thought that Liz won, right? But do you think that there's anything for Nachielli to glean from that match, like what Liz did well or something like that?
You know, if it's based on what Liz did well and also based on what I think Nachielli can do, it's the omoplata towards the end of the match, right? Now, it looked like Liz was trying to get into a gogoplata or an omoplata for most of the match. She finally got there with just a couple minutes left, but she was able to put Gabby in some danger with an omoplata. Now, it wasn't anywhere behind her back, but it at least gave us a glimpse into a way that somebody could go about attacking Gabby.
That she could be put in a bad position, right, at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing that's going to be motivation for Gabby coming into this, is not only is this, you know, the best out of three, the rubber match, but she got a lot of hate online after the Liz Clay match, with people thinking that Liz should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, Gabby's so dominant, people are always going to root against the person who's been dominant for so long. They want to see the underdog win.
Yeah.
I think Gabby deserved the W in that one. And this is going to be a really tough match for Nachielli. She's a no-gi world champion. She's no slouch no-gi, even though she's known more in the gi world. But, I mean, Gabby Garcia is 4-time ADCC champion.
It's just so hard to take her down, you know, and her top pressure is just among the best, you know. So you're really kind of put in between a rock and a hard place there, you know. You either stand with Gabby and try to take her down, but, you know, she's tough on the feet too. She's physical on the feet too. You're gonna come away with some black eyes and things like that. Or you pull guard and try to sweep, you know. And so it's a tough
and
one.
And then you pull guard, you better hope that she doesn't get you to half guard, because we've seen many times that's the beginning of the end for a lot of people. If she gets you to half guard and flattens you out, that pressure, she's gonna pass. She's gonna get
mount,
you, yeah.
Kimura, Americana, something like that. You know, like that's kind of what she does. Yeah.
Do you guys think we're going to see more standing in this match than we saw in the Gabby Liz Clay match?
I mean, if I was Nachielli, I wouldn't want to pull right away. 15 minutes is a long time to potentially be underneath Gabby with her pressure. But I mean, if she stands with her, how long is she going to be able to stay standing with Gabby?
Yeah, it's true. Like I said, Gabby is a physical wrestler too. You know, she has those hard collar ties and things like that. You know, that's not somewhere I would want to be. But then again, I wouldn't want to be, you know, in half guard either. So but you have to go with what Nachielli's good at, right? Nachielli's a guard player through and through. It's what she did, you know, in both her last matches. So I have to expect that she's going to try to play the guard. You know, Liz did such a good job of not letting Gabby pass. She had great guard retention and stuff like that. You know, Nachielli also very, very long as well. So hopefully, I bet she's expecting to play guard, keep her at bay, and then hopefully find some sweeps and find some submissions off that.
All right, in this one, I'm going to go with Gabby Garcia as my pick. I just can't pick against the four-time ADCC champion in an no-gi match. Gabby's the best. I mean, she's the best woman of all time until someone else comes out and proves it. I know she's lost to Nachielli, but that was in the gi, and that's a whole different story. What are you thinking?
Absolutely. Gabby, you know, is a killer out there. Looks great. But I'm going to pick the underdog. I'll pick Natchi Ailey. I think, you know, just talking to her over the years and stuff like that, I think she really, really has wanted this Gabby Garcia match. And she wants to prove that she's the best. You know, she really is one of the most dominant players in the gi at this point as well. No, she's won the absolute title, I believe, multiple times. So Natchi Ailey is no slouch either. She's contending for this greatest of all time female grappler as well.
She's only 25 or something.
And she's still very young. Who knows, when she's all said and done, she could have 10, 11
titles. I think she's a five-time IBJJF Black Belt World Champ already.
Okay, five times. I believe at least two of those are two absolute titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, not many people have those type of credentials. You know, obviously, the things that Gabby has accomplished are amazing, but believe me, Natchi Ailey is destined for some great things as well.
All right, call your shot. How's Natchi Ailey going to do it?
You know, I think it'll be a decision. I think Gabby will play on top and will smash, but I think there's going to be some big moments in there where Natchi Ailey is able to lengthen Gabby out and kind of be able to sweep her some way. I think it'll be a close match for sure, but I like Natchi Ailey here.
I didn't call mine, so I'll say Gabby by Americana. Corey, what are you thinking here?
You know, I think if this was a gi rematch, I think it would go to Natchi Ailey. But given that Gabby hasn't lost a no gi match in 5 or 6 years, I can't pick against Gabby here. I think Gabby has it, and I think she has it by something from either half guard or side control, maybe a straight arm lock or an Americana.
Yeah. So you guys are saying I'm wrong.
Yeah. I disagree with you on that one. Okay. So there we go. 2-1 for Gabby Garcia.
We'll see.
I mean, next match coming up, a very exciting one. A guy who's been on a couple times already, Gio Martinez, going against Junior Ocasio from Unity. So this is an interesting matchup. Gio's ranked number one at 145. Junior's ranked top five, I believe, at 135. They're meeting sort of in the middle here at 142. I don't think there's going to be too much of a size or strength advantage either way, no matter what they weighed in at. But I like this matchup here. It's an interesting one for Gio, because Gio's last couple matches, he beat Paulo Miau, lost to Kennedy. Sort of a couple, I mean, even though they're ADCC medals, a couple IBJJF-centric guys.
True.
Where, I mean, they have a particular type of game. I think Juni is going to have a game that Gio is more used to, I would say, coming from the submission-only scene. Come from the 10 planet system. And I'm really interested to see how this one goes down. I think we're going to see a leg lock battle here, though, for sure.
Yeah, these guys are made for each other, right? You know, I think that's exactly what Gio's been wanting. Gio's been wanting somebody who's going to come at him. You know, like you said, Kennedy and Paolo have a little bit of a IBJJF-based game, and we don't see Juni in IBJJF really ever, maybe a couple times. He's more of a sub-only guy, you know, known as a leg locker, known as a, you know, he's from Unity out there in New York. He's a younger grappler, definitely kind of like maybe in the same position Gio was just maybe 3-4 years ago. So love to see Juni on there. He's making a name for himself. He's been putting dudes away like crazy on Fight to Win. He's been one of the most exciting grapplers, I think, to watch in 2020 there for sure, the way he was submitting people and stuff like that. So, yeah, these two guys are made for each other, man. And this is exactly what I think both competitors want in a super fight matchup. You know, they want somebody who's going to go after them. They want somebody who's going to play the leg games with them, and they want somebody who's not going to back up, you know, and that's exactly these dudes' MO.
Something that might be easy to forget, because Gio's so acclaimed, he's higher ranked at his weight class. Juni beat him before.
Exactly.
The only time they went against each other, Juni beat him by points at Kasai a few years ago.
Exactly. You know, Gio ranked number one. We you know, hold Gio in really high regard, of course. One of the best lighter weight grapplers out there. And yeah, Juni's already beaten him, you know, so that's kind of crazy. Something you don't maybe remember, but it's definitely happened there at Kasai, and I know Gio's going to want that one back.
Corey, you got any stats on this one?
Yeah, well, no stats for this match, but I think one thing to consider looking back at the Kasai match is that was Juni's black belt debut. That was his first tournament of black belt. And I think that match went down 2-0 in Juni's favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since then, I mean, think about how much both guys have developed since. Yeah. When was the Kasai tournament? 2019?
Yeah.
I think it was July or August 2019.
Early 2019.
Right? How much have those guys developed, both of them, since that match? And I think we're going to see an entirely different game.
Yeah, that was a tournament that Kasai was sort of one where I was like, damn, like Gio's sort of struggling because he lost to Juni, which was a big upset at the time. And he took a couple other losses there, I believe. But then Gio's really started to, then he came back and turned around. I mean, he beat Paulo Miao not long ago in October. That was a big turnaround for him.
Yeah,
I mean,
he'd fought him a couple times too and hadn't gotten that over that hump. So that was definitely a big development.
Junie's always going up in weight. He just fought Kennedy not long ago. Who else has Junie been fighting lately? I know he was doing pretty well before the Kennedy match. What are his other recent?
Do you know?
Let me pull this up.
Yeah, pull it up. I remember meeting Junie all the way back, maybe I think it was 2017, when we went to Unity in New York. And, you know, that room that they had there, their old Unity, right? That was just, a crazy, crazy place.
So, going to 2020, he won by the Z-Lock at Fight to Win. At
that one was awesome.
He beat Gabe Tuttle at Who's Number One. That was on the same event as Gary and Dante, I believe, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He beat Lucas Pinedo, who's really good. I mean, Nogi Black World Champion by ref's decision at Fight to Win 149. Tap Marcelo Cohen, who's ranked with an inside heel hook at 153. Tapped Jose Lima with an inverted triangle, lost to Kennedy, who's a couple weight classes above him, and then beat Adam Ferrara with an inside heel hook. So he's been running wild at Fight to Win. Basically, he's six of his last seven with a whole bunch of submissions in there.
Yeah, I remember first meeting him, too, and at Unity there, and it was just like him and Joao and Paulo Miao, you know, and like he was just going crazy with Taliesin and stuff like that. And I was like, who is this other dude, you know, rolling with all these crazy guys? And they were just like this, you know, this ball of fury, you know. And then after that, then he started making some waves on Kasai. He won the Kasai qualifier and stuff like that and had some big matches. So excited to see Junie on the big stage for sure.
Right, well, and this is what we're looking for at Who's Number One, too, right? It's when he wins by submission, mm-hmm. and if he doesn't get the submission, it's because he's chasing the guy around, right? Think about the decisions he lost. Now, I think Gabe Tuttle was a 6-minute match, but he was pushing the pace. But even when he loses, he goes out there and he tries to take the guy's head off. So he lost to Kennedy by submission. Again, Kennedy's 20 pounds heavier than her than Junie, but Junie went out there. He was on the attack.
Oh man, like that Marcelo Cohen and Jose Lima match, like it looked like Junie was just, you know, way ahead of these guys in terms of those positions that he was putting them in, man. They looked so confused, and Junie was just running all over them.
Yeah, and if you look at his, I'm just skimming his BJ Heroes. Now, if you look at his career so far, yeah, Gio Martinez is the very first one listed, his win. But you can tell that in the last year or so, he's really picked it up, really turned it on, and his competition record in the last year, his submission rate is all vastly superior to what it was in the 2 years or so that he was a black belt before that, maybe just 1 year. But, yeah, this is a great matchup. Gio, I mean, he likes the subs too. 70% submission rate in his long black belt career. He's got a whole bunch of matches.
Both of them very creative. They have those go-go platas and stuff like that, you know. Like, these are fun dudes to watch grapple.
Do you think one of them comes up and passes, or do you think they both stay down and try and break each other's legs?
That's a good question. It looks like Gio is out there these days looking to pass. It looks like he's standing
the
Apollo
up. Match he was coming up and passing.
Yeah, it looks like he's down for that more these days. So I could see maybe Gio trying to pass the guard and get to his back or something like that.
All right, this one's really close, tough to call, but I'm going to go with Gio coming off of, I mean, he had all that momentum after beating Paulo Miao, then he gets his guard pass and loses to Kennedy. I'm going to go with Gio coming off of that loss that he's going to come back and get this one done.
What do you think, Corey?
I got to go with Junie on this one.
Another New York connection.
New Yorkers stick together.
No, I think that Junie is going to play. We have to use Kennedy as a kind of a measuring stick on this, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that being said,
they did both just fight Kennedy.
Right. Yeah. Kennedy submitted Junie. Kennedy.
So I'm curious to hear your logic here.
Right. So Kennedy, Kennedy beat Gio on points at Who's Number One.
Yeah.
Or at by decision at Who's Number One. But I think that I'm conflicted on this match. I don't know.
You can just say that Junie's your boy and that you want to see him win. You can say that.
This one could go either way.
Yeah, I'm conflicted on this match. Okay, I'm going with Junie on my gut.
All right.
Yeah. Got it. Word. No, for sure. I like Junie's chances out there, especially because he's already got the win. I think that's a big hurdle to get over. But I'm going to take Gio. I think just his experience on the Who's Number One card here is going to be something as well. He knows how to play this rule set. He knows what he's got to do. He knows what that length feels like. And he's gonna come in guns a blazing. I think, you know, he wants the win over the guy who's already beaten him. So I don't think Gio gets it done twice, or Gio loses twice. I think it's gonna be 1-1, and maybe we'll see a rubber match somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and Gio looked really good. He lost to that Kennedy match, but I mean, until he got his guard pass near the end, I think I remember having him winning that match. He was getting on the legs. He was the one that was sort of pushing the pace for the beginning.
He definitely made Kennedy very tentative. There was a couple positions that Gio was in that, you know, he was real, real close to, and made Kennedy kind of, you know, just kind of freeze a couple times and take his time, I think. So I definitely thought in the beginning that Gio was putting on him, and then you know, Kennedy came alive. But
so our fifth and final match in the main card, really interesting one. A guy who hasn't been on Who's Number One yet, Andrew Wiltse from our Daisy Fresh series, as people know. The guy, if you watch that, you know all of his past about, you know, growing up as a wizard, being obsessed with orange chicken. If you want to know what I'm
talking about, then now you got to go check it out.
If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go check it out. It's pretty interesting thing. But Andrew is a somewhat new black belt. He's won Nogi Pans at black belt. He beat John Combs a fight to win. He's going against PJ Barch from 10th Planet. This is going to be a really scrappy match here.
Absolutely, man. I love to see PJ on the card. PJ is somebody that we had our, you know, that we were predicting was going to do big, big things in 2019 and stuff like that too. He was on a roll. Unfortunately, had a kind of a catastrophic knee injury, I believe, 2018 or something. So we haven't seen him as much as we were. You know, he was out there competing a lot. He was kind of next big thing in 10th Planet. Unfortunately, had that knee injury, kind of sidetracked things. Obviously. Haven't seen him as much out there, but man, you know, I'm hoping that PJ can get back to the win column, or I mean back to what he does best, right? He's out there grappling, and I think that the Andrew Wiltse match is a perfect match for him.
Yeah, I mean, PJ's got some really big wins. He's won his last three by heel hook, inside heel hook. Wiltse almost got a heel hook by Isaiah Wright in his black belt debut in that fight to win, remember?
Yeah,
he's got got some really good. I mean, 2018, this was 2018 at the Iron Invitational. He taps William Tackett with a Kimura. We're talking about, and William Tackett has beat Wiltse. We're talking about PJ Barch. Tapped Vitor Shaolin. He's got a lot of, he's beat Jason Rao a couple times. He beat Victor Silverio. He's got a lot of really good wins. I mean, he heel hooked Jason Rao in 2017.
Wow.
He's got a lot of heel hooks here. For a guy that you think about with, comes from a wrestling background in Barch, you wouldn't think of him to be a leg lock guy usually, but he's got a lot of heel hooks here, and Wiltse, I mean,
he's got a great nogi game, right? He's got a great wrestling pedigree, and then yeah, he's a fantastic leg locker, but he can also do a lot of other things too.
Wiltse got heel hooked by Tackett at BJJ Woodstock, and he also almost got heel hooked by Isaiah Wright. So he's really got to be careful with that going into this one. I'm gonna throw a curveball. I'm gonna take PJ Barch. Because Andrew, you're being stubborn. You're not getting good enough at heel hooks. PJ Barch is going to catch Andrew out there, but man, Andrew is a beast. He gets rolling. He's hard to deal with, but we'll see how it goes. I'm gonna go. I can't take the favorite every time. I'm gonna go with PJ Barch in this one.
Absolutely, that's a good one. What do you think, Corey? You want to talk about this one and break this one down a little bit?
You excited? I can't look at this match and think it's going to be anything less than a scrap.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we could see this at, you know, any potential ADCC trials in, you know, the next 5 years. I think this is going to be just an absolute, between the wrestling and all of the various mission these guys have and the forward energy. I'm kind of leaning with PJ on this one.
Yeah.
And I think it's based on not just the leg locks, but how much more experience he's had against some of the guys at the top of the charts.
Yeah, I mean, something to consider is Andrew is a lot bigger. I actually think Andrew's going to win this thing. I just picked because everybody knows I'm friends with Andrew, so I can't pick him. But he's so much bigger. PJ normally fights at 170. He's going against Andrew at 185, and Andrew's a pretty strong dude. Like Andrew's,
he's big. He's thick. Yeah, he's got big shoulders. He's got big legs. Got big big calf muscles. Like he's a big dude.
What are you thinking about this?
I don't know. What do you think? How do you see this one playing out? Because PJ's the wrestler, so you think what? Andrew will pull? Or you think Andrew will wrestle with him?
I think Andrew will pull. Andrew might wrestle with him a little bit, but I think he'll pull.
Andrew pulls. PJ's trying to pass his guard. Man, that is a tough guard to pass, Andrew's, you know. I'm going to take PJ Barch, though. I'm going to go unanimous here at Who's Number One. We're going to take an all PJ Barch. You know, obviously these both dudes are electric, a lot of fun to watch. Could go either way, but
I'm gonna change it back to Wilts. He's my boy. I can't leave him a shutout like that. All right.
So there you go, Wiltsy or PJ Barch. One of those two are gonna win for sure.
Yeah. But there you go. That's the main card. As we said, we have two more matches coming that are gonna be stream free. Something I'm excited about, giving out matches for free on these things. So something we want to dive into a little bit of rankings talk before we get out of here. Today we are going to talk about the welterweight division. This is a really exciting division. When I look at the top 10 at welterweight at 170 pounds, if you want to pull that up, Tyler, I mean, you look at that top five, there's a lot of intriguing matchups. Obviously, two of them are teammates, are going to fight each other, Gary and Nicky. But it's not just that top five. There's a guy who's out of there because of inactivity, JT, that could come back and do some serious damage. But, I mean, you got Gary at the top. He's obviously has some getting close to a MMA title fight, I'd imagine, focusing on that. But he's beat Dante a couple times. Gary and Ty, we know that they want to fight each other whenever that's available. Nicky and Ty would be a fun one to run back again. Nicky versus either Dante or Renato Canuto in the future could be fun. And then you bring JT back into the mix, and there's a lot of exciting matchups. What do you think about this division right now, Reed?
This is 170, you said,
this
right?
This is 170,
170,
yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously highlighted at the top by the world's most exciting grappler, Gary Tonin. Interesting, yeah. I'm curious when we're going to see JT back, you know. Obviously, this whole...
He hasn't competed since ADCC.
Obviously, the whole pandemic thing's, you know, screwed everything up for a lot of people. But, you know, yeah, we haven't seen JT in a while. I haven't seen him out there, so I'm hopefully looking forward to one day we can see JT back out there grappling.
JT Gary's the big one, right? That's the big one in this division that we got to see.
Or Ty Gary too. That's one's pretty big.
Ty
too.
Gary's fun
that one's
too.
Pretty sick too. You know, I love to see Ty and Gary throw down. I love the spirit of that one. It just seems like they both kind of get it. Who's that number two there?
Dante Leon.
Oh, it's Dante. So I couldn't quite read his name.
Wagner used to be ranked here. He's up at 185 now because that's basically where he's been competing all of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see the Renato Gary match again for sure. I really do. Want to check that one out. Ty, Nicky, again, you know, I don't think we saw the prodigy Nicky that we're used to seeing in that match, not taking anything away from Ty. He looks like a killer all the time out there. But I do think Nicky has something a little bit more for Ty, so I would like to see that one again.
Nicky versus anybody in the top five besides his teammate Gary is... They're all interesting. Nicky versus Dante, Nicky versus Ty again, or Nicky versus Renato Canuto would be cool.
Wow. I think this move up in weight for Nicky really does make things a lot more interesting. Maybe not a lot more interesting because there's good matches for him down there too. But just seeing like a new crop of seven or eight guys that Nicky could potentially match up with. You know, we don't usually match him up with Dante or something because in the past they've been too big. But now... as Nicky kind of is getting older, we're seeing him mixing up with some of these bigger names and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Another interesting name that's not ranked because of inactivity that could be really interesting matchups for basically all these guys is Lachlan. Mm. He's around this weight. He's around 170.
True, of course.
To 77 at ACC. Corey, what do you think? What kind of matchups would you be looking forward to coming out in the future in 170?
You know, I think one of the most unsung heroes on this list is John Combs. I could see him up against, you know, I think Combs and Dante, I don't know if it sounds like it's happened before, but I'd really like to see John Combs and Dante Leon. I think that could be a scrap.
John Combs and Dante Leon does sound like a fun one.
Man, John Combs was on fire in that ADCC trials tournament last era. Was that 2019? Yeah, 2019. He like guillotined a whole bunch of people. He was like dead to rights in a rear naked choke. Came back, won the match. John's a killer, man, and he's kind of a dark horse in there as well. But I think John can guillotine any one of those names up there.
DDS with three ranked guys out of 10 here: Gary, Nicky, Oliver Taza. Pretty damn impressive, man. There's a lot of exciting matches going on here. I mean, number one, Gary versus JT, Gary versus Ty. I mean, you could even bring back Lachlan and put Gary versus Lachlan. A lot of exciting matches for both Gary and Nicky here. Really looking forward to this division going future.
Let me ask, if you had to predict, I'll ask Michael, Corey, if you guys had to predict who's going to be ranked number one at the end of the year, who do you think that would be? Can we do that?
At the end of 2021?
At the end of 2021, who will be the number one ranked welterweight?
Guys, before you do that, I actually had a poll prepared for this. So if you're on the app and you want to vote, who is most likely to to end up first in the 170 division after 2021, at the end of 2021.
Yeah, I'm curious what people think.
I think you got to go with Gary. I mean, when was Gary's last match, though? Was it June?
Was it versus Dante?
As long as Gary gets a match in to not, we take people out if there's a year in activity. As long as Gary was Dante in June or July, I think it might have been July, actually. As long as Gary gets a match in, you got to favor Gary still being the top ranked guy. I mean, the guy ranked number two, Dante Leon. Gary's 2-0 against him. Tyru Otolo in the future might be problems for Gary, but right now I you got to favor Gary winning that match. The fourth ranked guy, obviously their teammates. Gary has also beaten Hinato Kanuto. I don't know who's going to come up here and dethrone Gary as long as he stays active in grappling.
What do you think, Corey? Is JT going to come back, though?
Yeah, so that's the question, right? Is if JT comes back, it's a whole new conversation we're having, because then the question becomes, when do we get to see the like championship match between Gary Toner and JT Torres, and how does Gary beat JT, right? So on top of that, I guess the other question I want to ask is, how does Nicky move up to number one? Does Gary have to step down or do enough wins over Ty or Dante or any of these guys eventually get Nicky to the top?
Well, I think it seems like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like, right, Gary's a little bit on the way out going to MMA, and so this could be Nicky's time to pass him, you know, maybe just hand the torch off to him, you know, as Gary kind of sails away.
Pass the baton to him, yeah, hand it off to him in his division, because Gary's doing very well in MMA.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be champ pretty soon in MMA, so what's he need grappling for? You know, he'll pass the baton to Nicky, and then maybe Nicky could be number one. Who knows? Maybe at the end of the year, Nicky Ryan will be the number one ranked welterweight grappler. Certainly possible.
It's not far-fetched. Yeah. All right, we got a lot in there. We talked about the entire card. As we said earlier, February 26th will be the event. Five matches on the site, two matches going out free. Who's number one? Craig Jones versus Ronaldo Jr. We didn't really talk about the main event this week because last week we did so much on it. But a lot of exciting news coming. There's going to be more Who's Number Ones in the future. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And, of course, this weekend, guys, we're heading out to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
We're headed to Puerto Rico. We're going to check out what the Dan Herdez squad is got going on down there. Really, really exciting times here at Flow Grappling. We're excited to go down there and just make a bunch of content for you guys to check out. So be on the lookout for that, you know, as early as next week for sure. We got a lot of stuff planned, a lot of fun stuff planned, and should be pretty wild.
All right, Tyler, if you want to go ahead and close it with the video promoting the event, see you guys in a couple weeks. We won't be here next week because we're going to Puerto Rico. We'll be back the week after that.
Gracie Academy, specifically the Danaher Death Squad.
My style is kind of aggressive. I think it's going to be a very exciting match for the people who love jiu-jitsu.
Typically, a lot of people will watch me compete to see the finishes, and in regards to those finishes, mostly heel hooks.
Now is my time. I'm excited.
For sure, it's going to be exciting. We'll be right back.